New leadership in Tech's Water Center and a softball coach who came from the Army. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Thanks for joining us here on Tennessee Tech Today, where we take an in-depth look at what's happening with students, faculty, staff, research, and events on campus. Well, Tennessee Tech's Center for the Management, Utilization, and Protection of Water Resources, also known as the Water Center, looks to enhance the water quality, water security, and aquatic biodiversity in Tennessee. Pioneering scientific information to better protect, manage, and utilize water resources from local to global scales. And leading the charge for the Water Center is the new director, Jeff Schaefer. Jeff, first of all, welcome to Tennessee Tech. And I guess the first question I have is, what is the Water Center and what do you do?
The Water Center has been around for many years. And we are, or historically, we've been sort of a research think tank located within Tennessee Tech. And we receive an annual appropriation from the state of Tennessee to do research that supports water governance. And we've been that way for a long time, but our role is really expanding. And that's because we finally have a full-time director after many years of not having one, and we have a core group of very dedicated faculty. We tend to work in a few specific areas. Our core mission revolves around research that supports biodiversity, water sustainability, modeling and simulation, often as applied to flood control or understanding floods and watersheds, and also that food, energy, water connection. And very recently, in the few months that I've been here, we've added another focus area, which is science synthesis and science communication. Oh, wow. And we see the Water Center as a hub for information about relevant current topics generally related to water management. So that's kind of what we do. And we have a number of dedicated faculty that write lots of grants. We actually bring in quite a bit of research funding to Tech in addition to our base allocation from the state. And in all of this, our primary goal is student support and doing what we can to enhance the student experience while they are at Tech.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the Water Center and particularly some of the events coming up. Let's talk a little bit about you. Where, what's your background and what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
The weather.
Even right now?
Especially right now. Stop complaining. This is great. I have daffodils blooming in my yard and it's February. Come on, man. I was a research scientist at the United States Geological Survey's Great Lakes Science Center. I was the branch chief for coastal ecosystems, and I was also an adjunct professor at the University of Michigan. And there were a couple things. The best part of my job was working with students, but there was only so much I could do in that position, and the idea of being able to work with students every day made this position very attractive.
Okay.
And like I said, the weather, again, my wife and I have this really bad habit of looking at the Cookeville weather forecast and then comparing it to the weather forecast in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then we laugh and laugh and
there
laugh.
There is no comparison. Yeah.
I also wanted an interesting life in a charming small town. Mm-hmm. And for me, as an outdoor enthusiast, Tennessee had lots and lots of new adventures. Yeah. I really like living in Cookeville. It's perfect for us.
So let's talk a little bit about the Water Center and some of the things that's coming up. I know the Cave and Karst Resource Symposium is coming up on Saturday. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this symposium is an effort to bring in a broad group of stakeholders who are interested generally in caves and karst. And for those of you who are not geologists, karst is a type of landscape where one sees fractured limestone at the surface.
Okay.
We live in a karst region, and living in a karst region is interesting because that's what gives us these wonderful springs that bubble out of the side of a mountain. It gives us bluegrass that helps ranchers or horse growers raise the strongest and fastest horses in the world because of that diet of calcium-rich Kentucky bluegrass. And it also is the thing that gives us Tennessee bourbon and Tennessee whiskey. It's no coincidence that a lot of the world's most famous distilleries are located in karst regions because of the high water quality.
Oh, wow.
And you can find karst all over the world, but it's especially prevalent here in Tennessee. So karst and caves are a very important resource within the state of Tennessee. Caves are good homes for bats that eat a lot of noxious insects that otherwise might show up at your barbecue. And they also contain some of the rarest organisms in the world. And they are also of great cultural significance because Native Americans used them. They would mine flint. They would live in them. They were just fantastic places. And it turns out that there are whole groups of agencies and organizations that are interested in caves and the karst landscape. And this symposium that we're hosting at Tech is the way to bring all those diverse groups together to share ideas, to get up to speed on the latest research, and to actually get to know one another. And a good example of this is that scientists are interested in caves, but there are many people that go caving for a hobby.
Yeah.
And those are the folks, the hobby cavers, and they're dead serious, and they have their own very interesting organization.
Yeah.
They actually do a lot of citizen science. A lot of the data that come from caves comes from the different chapters of the National Speleological Society, many of which are in Tennessee. So it's a way to bring them together for exchange of ideas.
You also have something else coming up, a special seminar by Dr. Franklin Percival, From Endangered to Everywhere, The Story of the American Alligator. Now, are there alligators in Tennessee?
I don't know, and that's why we're bringing Franklin to answer that question. I have heard anecdotal reports that maybe one or two gators may have been observed in Tennessee before, but I don't know if it's true at all. But when faced with a warming climate, they could be expanding their range northward. I think it would be a long time before they become really common. But the real reason we're bringing Franklin Percival to Tennessee Tech is that he's a fantastic person and a very dynamic speaker. But the story of the American alligator is incredible. This is an animal that was once on the federal endangered species list. And now in Florida, most homeowners keep the number of the gator removal service on a fridge magnet tape, you know, stuck on the front of the refrigerator.
Right.
And all of this occurred through scientific research. And Franklin led the team of ecologists that figured out why gators were so rare over most of their range. The research identified the problem. The problem was corrected, or multiple problems were corrected. Mm-hmm. They immediately began to repopulate the landscape to the point where in some places there are almost too many of them.
Really?
Yes, and now most of the southern states actually have a very highly regulated hunting season. So people actually go out and hunt alligators. But the other thing about gators is their real value to society is actually indirect. And think about the University of Florida gators and all the memorabilia that they sell. Think of the John Deere gator.
Right.
Think of the Gator Bowl.
Yeah.
And if you Google gator product,
and
do a Google image search, Gatorade. You will find thousands. Yeah, Gatorade, that's a great addition. Those products have value, and their brand exists because gators also exist. You know, so a world without gators would be a much sadder world. So Franklin's going to give a talk and tell us that history. And he is one of these individuals where I just wanted students to be able to meet with him. He's been a great professional mentor to me, and he was the perfect person to kick off the Water Center's new Distinguished Speaker Series. And we're hoping to bring people like him to tell interesting stories at least once or twice a year.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, talking with Jeff Schaefer, the director of the Water Center, I know you have a Tennessee Rare Fishes meeting coming up in a couple of weeks. What is that all about?
The Tennessee Rare Fishes meeting is exactly what the title suggests. It's about rare fishes. Tennessee has more fish species than just about any other state. And we have some of the rarest fishes on the planet living in our state. And a great example of that is the Barron's Top Minnow. And the Barron's Top Minnow lives exclusively in the Tennessee Highlands. And originally it was only found in about a dozen springs. And it was rare to begin with, and it's gotten even rarer. And because we have so many rare fishes, and each one requiring its own individual conservation strategy, we are hosting a meeting where all the state and regional experts on rare fishes get a chance to get together and talk about what they're doing, share ideas and inspirations, and report out conservation progress.
Wow, there's a lot going on with the Water Center. So as you have come in, you've been here since, what, October? What do you see as your short-term goals? I know bringing in some of the speakers like Franklin Percival and doing some things like that, but what are some of your short-term goals? And then what do you hope to accomplish here in the long run?
Well, the immediate short-term goal, and that one is being realized, is to create better connections between the Water Center and different schools and colleges and departments on campus. We were a little bit isolated, and the reason for that is people simply didn't have the time to invest in building those bridges. And it's paying off because we are developing interdisciplinary research projects with many different groups. One of my favorites is I'm working directly with chemical engineering students to try and solve the problem of nitrogen supersaturation in Tennessee fish hatcheries. For some reason, their nitrogen, the water supplies that supply some of our trout hatcheries are becoming saturated with nitrogen, and it's really bad for fish. And so we're trying to devise ways of stripping that excess nitrogen out of the water before it gets to the fish. And we have 9 students working on the project in 3 teams, and they're testing different methods of removing that nitrogen. And this is chemical engineering at its best.
Yeah.
So we are trying to build bridges, getting some interdisciplinary research started, and we're working with everyone from chemical engineering, as I alluded to, all the way to some water or aquatic public health issues. We're working directly with the School of Nursing on that one. And we have also found a number of ways in which we can support the Rural Reimagined program.
Right.
And I've been collaborating with Michael Akins very closely, and we have a number of projects. One of the things that we're investigating is the possibility of bringing small-scale aquaculture to the region. And it turns out there is an absolutely unlimited demand for bait minnows.
Okay.
And this sounds like a very strange thing to be doing, but there are literally thousands of little ponds on farms throughout our region, and we think a lot of them could support bait minnow culture. And the nice thing about raising bait minnows is it requires almost no input from the grower. They're very easy to raise at very low cost, and they're a very high-value cash crop. And the challenge here is that this isn't just an aquaculture problem, it's also a business problem. Because you can raise all the minnows you want, but you need a supply chain to get them to the consumer, which in this case would be the angler who wants to buy them.
Right.
And so we're hoping to team up with the School of Business to try and understand how we could facilitate developing a supply chain for that product. So that's all very nascent. That project is only a few weeks old, but stay tuned.
Yeah.
In terms of longer goals or bigger goals,
sure.
I think, and what I've been saying consistently, is that there are actually many water centers like us scattered throughout the nation. Most of them are at universities. And our goal, quite frankly, is to be the best state-focused water center in the nation. And that's how I want to achieve national recognition. And when I say state-focused, what we are doing is identifying our end users and asking people, what can we do to be helpful? And we pose that question to the agencies and the various individuals involved in water governance throughout the state. And so that's kind of our longer-term goal.
Okay.
And what I'm hoping to do sometime over the next year is actually form an advisory board with outside individuals who could advise us on long-term strategies. I'm also seeking input from faculty, because the last thing you want to do as the new guy is to come in and say, here's my vision, everybody get behind it, or everyone get behind it.
Yeah.
Visions come from the community. Mm-hmm. And so we are slowly building consensus, and you do that by simply talking to people and getting ideas.
Jeff Schaefer, the director of Tennessee Tech's Water Center, enlightening us about several different things today. Thank you so much for being with us. And, it sounds like you have a lot going on. And welcome to Tennessee Tech.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, the Tennessee Tech basketball teams wrap up the regular season on Saturday at Jacksonville State. Both Golden Eagle squads are coming off tough losses at Belmont on Thursday. The Tennessee Tech baseball team is back home hosting Bradley, weather permitting. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Tech softball team, under the direction of first-year head coach Michelle DiPolo, will be in Johnson City for a tournament. DiPolo came to Tech after spending 9 seasons at Army West Point, where she was the first female head coach at the Division I for the Academy. Coach, first of all, how did you find Tennessee Tech and what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
Yeah, well, I saw that Coach Vani had resigned and there'd be an opening, so I kind of just decided to go after it. It definitely seemed, I know the history of the softball program and rich history. Really was looking to get to a civilian school and come down south, so all of those things were a nice appeal. And then on top of it, so once I got here, though, the community, the administration, everyone has just been amazing, and you could really feel the support and the vibe for softball. So it was just such a wonderful fit.
So for you personally, you know, you leaving Army, leaving the North, you come to Tennessee Tech here in the South. How's the change been culturally for you?
Yeah, it's been a welcome change. I really have enjoyed it a great deal. I've been to the South a ton over the course of my career, both from a competitive side, recruiting side, did a lot down here, and just even vacation, and really wanted to get here for a long time or just always had an affinity for it, really. I really enjoyed my time there at West Point, but this has been a nice change in a lot of ways.
Well, with the weather this week, a little more conducive for the North than for softball in the South, how has the weather affected the season so far?
It's been very rainy, very, very rainy. But no, it's actually been okay. Besides the rain, we've been able to get outside, I think, only about 5 or 6 times. But to me, that's 5 more times than I think I've ever been able to get out in a preseason before. So that was great. But at the same time, it has been a little challenging to start. But luckily, Mother Nature has cooperated, and it seems like every Friday, Saturday, Sunday has been dry, and we've been able to get in all our games up to this point. Probably looking at a little bit of adjustment to this weekend coming up, but again, maybe a day shift here or there is no big deal at all, as long as we get out and get the opportunity to play.
Right, going down to the Buccaneer Classic in Johnson City, playing some in-state teams, also Bowling Green. Just talk about stacking up against some of those in-state teams.
Yeah, well, I'm more familiar with them on paper than I am in person. We did play Tennessee this fall, but fall games are, you know, they're meant to condition people, and it's way different atmosphere and feeling than it is in the spring. So I'm very aware of Tennessee's history, their strong recruiting class and the freshmen, and just, you know, how much the Weeklies have built up that program, and obviously it's an SEC program. East Tennessee State I've had some experience with in my past, and I've also been able to really delve into some stats and how they've stacked up with Tennessee Tech. We've seen Bowling Green once already this year. They've got a freshman pitcher who's really doing an outstanding job for them. So we're going to really have our work cut out for us this weekend, but I think all of this is wonderful preparation as we enter the nearby OVC conference games coming up.
Yeah, you start out the season 8-6 overall. Is this kind of about where you thought you would be, or, you know, I guess kind of assess where you're at?
Honestly, for me personally, the season has been a little bit of assessing a lot and moving parts around. And you never know what's going to happen from the fall to the spring because of injuries, new people, someone really coming out, or maybe someone who was injured last year coming back, all those things. I've really been just focusing a lot on the process, more of just how we can make adjustments from week to week to week, or even game to game, and then seeing what's the best combination for us. You know, that we're always going to have not always the same set, but what is the best combination and what's best for the team at that moment, and what we're going to face in our opposition. You know, what players we have that will stack up well against what I'm seeing from the opposition too.
And of course, you play in a lot of tournaments to prepare yourself for OVC play. All of them on the road. I think I looked at maybe 11 home games and a 52-game schedule. I'm sure you're probably looking at liking to change that a little bit more, get some more home games in the future.
Yeah, we already have started to set up a little bit more in the home games in the future for the future schedules coming up. But it is what it is. You know, it actually doesn't work out all that bad because we start on the road for OVC, so we're going to get into that very familiar. It's not going to be a culture shock. It's going to be kind of business as usual when it comes to that piece of things, in shorter trips, hopefully. But it, I think the only thing is that, you know, you have to have some home games to just have the community involved, the campus involved, and that's something that I want to make sure that we can try and do a little bit better job of in the future.
So in assessing the team, there's some players that are really starting to stand out a little bit. Just talk about those and who's impressed you so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, from the get-go, honestly, the whole team's been really great in terms of just welcoming and really willing to learn and just buy into a new system and know that there was a change, that there was nothing that they could do. So everything has been great from top to bottom with all the players. As far as on the field, as we're seeing this year, I think I moved Sydney Love Baker up to the leadoff, and that's a big change a lot of times for any athlete, and she's handled it just in such stride, and she is great. She's all about the team, so that is also a really neat thing to see up in front. She does a great job being able to hit well against any type of pitching. It doesn't matter what the pitcher is delivering, she can definitely jump on it. She sees a lot of pitches, but she can spray to all fields. She can hit for power, she can hit for average. She's a smart ball player, and she's been sitting in the middle of the infield at shortstop for us, and she's kind of emerged in a lot of ways as a leader. So she's definitely been there at the top. We've had some good leadership coming in from our returners. Raleigh Lewis has really stepped up, I think, in a different role this year. Didn't catch as much last year. And just kind of calming herself down at the plate and really being able to, again, deal with anything the pitchers are coming at us with. We've got a really strong outside pitch, really strong drop ball or changeup. She can really just get that ball gets out of the park in a hurry when she puts a quality swing on it. So that's been a really neat thing to see. the pitching staff, Alyssa Arden, returned, and I think sometimes there's always a little bit of stigma if you've had a good year as a freshman, that when you come back as a sophomore, you get a little worried about what's this year going to bring, and everyone's kind of ready for you. So really working through that, and she's been a real trooper with everything. Knowing that she handled a lot of innings last year, she'll continue to handle a lot of innings this year, but I do want to get some depth in our pitching staff in terms of just making things effective, and then giving pitchers adequate rest when they need it. But she's been a pleasure to be around and coach and make adjustments, and she doesn't take anything too hard, which is a really welcome sign. She doesn't get too overly emotional about anything at all. She's just kind of a rock out there and is ready to compete every day. Bryson's been seeing some more innings, I think, on the mound than she did last year, Haley Bryson, and she's been doing a really nice job. I think she likes to have a variety. You know, she can play defensive positions. She's in our lineup. She's been moving around in our lineup. But she's been handling everything in stride, and, again, just someone who's willing to compete, and you really can't ask for more as a coach. As someone who wants to compete, puts the team first, and is willing to make adjustments as needed. Then a few freshmen have been able to get out there a little bit, so that's been a nice change too, just to see some new blood, see what they can do, and make some adjustments.
So you're 14 games into the season. How good do you think this team can be?
Oh, that's a tough question. I always think, you know, potential is a little bit limitless. You know, you want to see what, I think, again, it's making that right combination. And I really will feel more comfortable as the season goes on kind of answering that question, because I don't know them through the duration of an entire season. Again, I can go off a lot of what I've been looking into the past 2 years, and even looking at the opposition, the mentality. Does road trips take a wear on us? I'm not quite sure, but I really think we can go toe-to-toe with anyone in the OVC right now, and that's kind of what we're looking to. I think we can go toe-to-toe with anyone on our schedule, absolutely, but definitely as we continue to look forward, in the grand scheme of things, or the whole encompassment of the season, we're right there, and we just need to do what, as long as we're going to be our own best friends, and we're going to be our own worst enemies when it comes down to facing people in the future.
First home game is a doubleheader against Eastern Kentucky on Saturday, April 4th. Still got a month before the team gets to play here at Tennessee Tech, but we certainly wish you the best of luck being road warriors for the next month. And anything else you want to add?
No, thanks for coming out, and it's more than a month away, so I'll have to go there. And Eastern Kentucky is a great team, but we do have limited home games, so any support we could get from the community, from the university, is welcome. These young ladies have been working really hard, and they all really value their experience here, and they like to give back to the university, so we'd love to see anyone out there who wants to come.
All right, Michelle DiPolo, the head coach of the Tennessee Tech softball team and the Golden Eagle softball team, in action this weekend up in the Buccaneer Classic up in Johnson City. Good luck to you, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Well, the events around campus are popping up like daffodils, and here to tell us all about what's on the campus calendar is Kate Summers.
The Department of Communication is hosting a lunch on Monday, March 30th at 12:15 p.m. in the RUC Room 370 for three faculty candidates for the department. The lunch is free and open to students in the Communications Department to meet the new faculty and the candidates. On March 2nd, there will be a thesis and dissertation formatting help workshop in the Volpe Library, room 248, from 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. This workshop is geared towards giving graduate students one-on-one help with their dissertations and theses. On March 3rd, there is a Gold Career Readiness Workshop on the first floor of the RUC at 11 a.m. This event is open to students in all majors and aids students on how to prepare themselves to make a good impression at the upcoming job fair. Also on March 3rd, the Women's Center is hosting a screening of the film Straight Curve Refining Body Image at 7 p.m. in Johnson Hall, room 401. This film regarding body image is 90 minutes long and will be followed by a short discussion and refreshments. On March 4th, there is an Eagle Works branding workshop in the iMakerspace on the third floor of the Volpe Library at 5 p.m. to learn about how to positively brand and advertise for a company, brand, and even yourself. On March 7th, the Spring Showcase will be in the G.R. Whitson Building from 9 o'clock a.m. to 2 p.m. This event is for potential students to explore academic programs before enrolling at Tech. And that's a look at the calendar. This is Kate Summers for Tennessee Tech Today.
Thanks, Kate. Well, that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, and confident. Wings up, everybody.